You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We're talking with CEOs and leaders from across the D.C. area about leadership, and we're finding out what's in the portfolio of these leaders. We're going to find out on Leaders Portfolio today. Our first guest in Leaders Portfolio studio today, the president and fellow of the American Institute of Architects, Davis Buckley Architects and Planners, Davis Buckley himself. Welcome, Davis, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much.
Now, Davis Buckley Architects and Planners is located in Washington, D.C. and has completed work on national memorials, museums, educational buildings, retail and commercial office projects, medical facilities, embassies, historic preservation work, urban design and campus planning projects, and environmental assessments. What haven't you done?
Well, I'm sure that there is more for me to do, and I wish I had an 800 number because people could call me. I would be more than happy to consider their work. We have done a wide variety of projects, and we just completed a very large master plan for a destination resort on the north shore of Egypt on the Mediterranean.
Oh, wow.
And we have just completed the restoration of the Decatur House in Judiciary Square and Woodlawn Plantation, which is next to Mount Vernon, actually commissioned and built by George Washington and completed in 1805. And we have a very large mixed-use project between the National Stadium and the Anacostia River, which is both housing, retail, and commercial office space for a longtime client by the name of Florida Rock Properties. So we've been very lucky for the variety of projects that we've done.
You seem like you like to pick projects that are challenging and interesting. Is that true? And will you turn down work if it doesn't, spark your curiosity?
I think so. I think that we recognize that there is a value that is substantially added to the community and the texture of our country through these national memorials. And also through the preservation of significant historic structures.
And that's a passion of yours, historic preservation.
Architecture is a passion of mine. And preservation is a part of that. And actually, there's linkage between memory and preservation, memorials and preservation, in that they're dealing with the historic context of who we are as a people and as a country. So yes, it is a passion.
Now, growing up the daughter of an architect, my father would get frustrated when they were knocking down some building that had history. Do you share that? Do you get frustrated if?
Well, I don't become frustrated. I just am always concerned that if there is a property that has great historical significance, that we should be very cautious as to whether we demolish it or not. That does not necessarily mean that there are buildings that should not be taken down, because the presumption that a building that does not have great historic significance should be simply saved due to its age, I think, is a mistake. And it also presumes that the replacement building will not, in fact, be better. And I think you have to just keep an open mind about that.
And you mentioned a number of your projects. One is the National Museum of the American Indian. You were an advisor to the Rockefeller family for that project. And tell me about kind of your connection with that and your thoughts on that project.
Well, the Museum of the American Indian is really a significant addition to the mall and is very important. It deals with an indigenous part of our country, and it was a great privilege for me to work on that for a number of years, and I basically was an advisor and helped guide the process, and particularly assisted the family in terms of their specific interest in seeing it completed.
And another project was, we can just list these, there's so many of them, but you served as the design architect for the National Japanese American Memorial. And one of the things that I know about you is that you enjoy getting involved in the history of the project.
Well, that was a remarkable project, and it was a great honor for me to have been selected by the community to design the project. And what very few people realize is that these projects take a long time. They assume that memorials and the like are popping up willy-nilly all over the nation's capital. It's just not the case. I spent 10 years on the Japanese American Memorial, and from the time that we first started until we completed it. And the National Law Enforcement Office's memorial, which I also had the great privilege to design, took 7 years, and that's actually considered one of the quickest memorials in the nation's capital. So they're not things that just occur quickly. They take time. And I also did the site selection on the for the World War II memorial. So it's,
why do you think they take time? Is it the political process?
No, it just takes time to understand the nature of the memorial, to write the program, to interview the constituency, to do focus groups. And you have to be extremely well prepared for that. And there's an enormous amount of front-end research that goes into it. The Japanese American Memorial is very complex. 87% of all the Japanese Americans at the time of World War II were American citizens by birthright. And they were interned in the 10 camps. There were additional camps. There were community-based camps. And then there were all those who volunteered into the services. Senator Inouye volunteered from Hawaii. He was a medical student. And, of course, we all know that he, you know, lost an arm during the war. But Dora Mineta, my close friend, so it's a remarkable experience to go through this. It takes a long time. And the thing about it is that the regulatory agencies in the nation's capital take these very seriously because they're a final and integral part of our landscape in the nation's capital, and they will be there forever. So they do take time, and we have to approach them in a very thoughtful and careful way.
And you also served as advisor to the Venetian Casino Resort in Vegas. It's beautiful. I've been there. It's very pretty. And to kind of tell me your role about that.
Where do you find all this information? No, I was just an advisor to them for a period of time and helping resolve some design issues that they had. But I enjoyed it because when I was at Yale, we had a thing called Learning from Las Vegas, which talked about the phenomena of the strip, the signage, and what it meant in terms of our culture. So in many ways, I thought that going back to Las Vegas was an opportunity for me to really understand how it has changed. And it's really quite a remarkable environment. And the concept of themed, self-contained environments is really what the casinos are like. They bring you in and they keep you there. It's 24/7 and it's day for night. So that was a wonderful opportunity and I enjoyed it.
Did you do any gambling?
I do not gamble.
Okay.
And I never have, and I may have some other vices, but that just doesn't happen to be one. But I love the energy of it, and I love the excitement of the environments, whether it's Caesar's Palace or the Venetian or the Wynn or the Bellagio. Really, quite extraordinary environments.
We're speaking with Davis Buckley, President Fellow of the American Institute of Architects of Davis Buckley Architects and Planners. Now, you're an elected member of the Fellow of American Institute of Architects, and I'm going to ask you, has that been a career highlight for you?
It was a great honor. I was elevated to the College of Fellows and by my peers, and so yes, it was. Whether or not everybody would agree with that, I have no idea. But yes, it's a great honor, and it's a great institution.
And you mentioned your education background, Yale.
Yes.
And did you know back then you wanted to be an architect?
I've known I've wanted to be an architect ever since I was very young.
Did you play with Legos?
Well, I don't know if I played with Legos because I'm probably older than than Legos. But my family has been involved in architecture and construction for three generations, and my uncle was an architect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a wonderful, wonderful kind of upbringing. And I worked on construction as a young man. And so I had both a construction background as well as the architectural background. And my education at Yale was really an extraordinary experience. And it's a great institution. And they were very, very, very kind to me. They put up with me.
You're currently working on a historic preservation project on George Washington.
We're doing the restoration of Woodlawn Plantation, which is in Mount Vernon, Virginia. And it's extraordinary because it was designed by Dr. William Thornton, who is the first architect of the Capitol. And it was built by George Washington for his Lawrence Lewis, who is a nephew, and his wife, Nellie Custis. Nellie Custis was the daughter of Martha Washington by her first husband. And the client is the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and we've been honored to have them for a client for almost 7 years now. And we also did the restoration of the Decatur House designed by Henry Benjamin Latrobe, which was just on PBS. Program sponsored by PBS and hosted by Paul Goldberger.
Do you have to do a lot of interviewing because you do all these a number of historic projects?
Not interviewing, but I do a fair number of presentations. And but not necessarily interviews. This is wonderful, by the way.
Oh, good. Really, well, thank you. Good. Yeah. And we're speaking with the President and Fellow of the American Institute of Architects, Davis Buckley Architects and Planners, with Davis Buckley. We're going to be heading into a break here. And when we get back, I want to talk to you, Davis, about your leadership philosophy. And also, I know architecture is one of the hardest hit professions. You've seen that on the news. And I want your thoughts on that. So when we get back, we're going to talk about those things. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. And you've been enjoying Leaders Portfolio, also at leadersportfolio.com. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community and leadership community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. Also, a reminder to get your nominations in for the Leadership Business of the Year and the Business Leader of the Year. We are looking for the best. You send us emails, you say, this person should be on the air. Well, you know what? Now's your chance to get that leader. Maybe it's a client of yours, maybe it's a colleague. Nominate them for Business Leader of the Year. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Back here on Leaders Portfolio, we're here with Davis Buckley Architects and Planners, Davis Buckley himself, President and Fellow of the American Institute of Architects. And Davis, before the break, I mentioned, how the economy was affecting architects. I read an article, some national newspaper, about how architects were like the number one profession who lost people in their profession in, I guess it was in 2009. And so my thoughts are, I wanted to ask you about that. kind of generally how is, you know, the architectural profession as a whole, and then how your firm is being affected by the economy.
Well, our firm has not been dramatically affected. We've been affected a little bit, but I think that for architects across the country, I think it's been very difficult. And I think the important thing to know is the relationship between architecture and planning and the economy. And I think it's fair to say that architectural work precedes construction by about 2 years. And in many ways, architects are the engine for the renewal of our cities, the reconstruction of our infrastructure, and are essential to the well-being of our communities in our cities and our rural environments. And sustainable design has become an extraordinarily important component of the architectural experience. So I think it's unfortunate that we have this major downturn, because you will find people moving away from architecture into different professions. And this has happened previously, and you lose an amazing number of people and great talent. They just move away from architecture. So it's not good out there. It's unfortunate. I think that there's an opportunity for this administration and this Congress to really recognize the worth and value of rebuilding our infrastructure and rebuilding our cities and restoring our historic structures and building new buildings and new communities as a way to really stimulus and bring us all back online as a great country. But we need to do that.
Speaking of sustainable design, LEEDs, it seems to me that this was a concept, you would know more better than me, but maybe 30 years it came out. It didn't get a lot of push. And then over the last, I don't know, 5-8 years, it's everywhere. It transformed the architectural field. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the important thing is that we need to move toward as carbon neutral environment as we possibly can. And we'll never be without fossil fuels. That's my opinion. But we do need to supplement it, and we do need to have as carbon neutral environment as we possibly can. So the emphasis on sustainability, green if you wish, I think is extremely important. We do a fair amount of it. Most of our projects do it. Interestingly enough, the District of Columbia actually has an ordinance where they are moving toward a very aggressive green policy regarding buildings and regarding the environment and transportation. And I think that they're doing a remarkable job in that regard, as is New York City. New York City is a very sustainable community.
And are the costs coming down for sustainable design? Is that why it's all of a sudden picked up, or not necessarily?
Yes, I think it is coming down, because more and more vendors and people who provide materials for buildings recognize the worth and value of having materials that are sustainable. So you're right in that regard.
Now, I noticed through your projects, you do some projects that were security is an important role in design, and others that don't. And I thought, this is interesting. How do you design when you're doing an embassy where security is of utmost importance versus not?
Well, it all has to do with the level of security that's needed for that particular environment. Interestingly enough, we're doing a perimeter security for the National Law Enforcement Office's memorial, which is located in Judiciary Square. And that has to do with just the very nature of the environment and the type of buildings that are around it. So security is an important component of protecting our buildings. Can you do it 100%? No. Can you do it to a degree that you at least have an understanding of what the threat is and how you can avert it? Yes. So it's very difficult, and sometimes security devices are very intrusive into architecture in our community and makes accessibility to buildings very difficult. And hopefully over time we'll have a better understanding of how best to go about providing security in a non-invasive way.
Your resume said you had experience working with the complex approval process in D.C. Why is the process so complicated, and how do you think you could simplify it?
Well, I don't think it should be simplified. I think
interesting.
That we have been very fortunate in being able to obtain most of the approvals for all of our projects through presentations to the United States Commission of Fine Arts, the National Capital Planning Commission, the State Historic Preservation Office, doing Section 106 reviews, et cetera. I never thought in my wildest imagination when I was in graduate school that I would be involved in going through such important regulatory reviews. But I think what's important is that it's a consensus-building process. And out of that process, you really develop a very thoughtful and meaningful design. So I'm very, very supportive of it. Do you become frustrated sometimes? I will never say, but I think that some people have. But I think it's an important thing, particularly in the nation's capital. And so we need to really safeguard what we build and have a clear understanding of its position in the community.
You're the co-founder of the Washington Episcopal School with your wife.
Well, we were founded trustees of the Washington Episcopal School with several other people.
And the thought behind doing this was what?
I just followed the lead of my wife. The school was really founded to on several principles that were very important. One is that that I felt strongly about was that no class should be more than 15 students, and that that class not only have a teacher but an assistant, that there be a variety of academic subjects that are taught, and that we give students as much opportunity as we possibly can, and try to have a very, very interesting and important cross-section of the community at the school. So it was a great experience.
And your wife works with you now.
She's the chief financial officer. I do what I'm told.
She keeps you in line.
Yes.
That idea is going to cost too much, right?
I have to be very careful what I say. But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful working relationship.
Davis Buckley Architects and Planners are speaking with Davis Buckley. He's a president and fellow of the American Institute of Architects. Davis, what is your leadership philosophy?
I think that there are two parts to that. One is that those people who work with you, you work with them as peers and not employees, and that you provide them with the same kind of benefits that you have. Our company, for instance, pays 100% of health benefits. We have a pension program that we pay 100% into. And we want the very best and brightest that we can possibly have in the firm. And in order to attract those people, you have to have comparable benefits. But I think that I learn as much from people who work for me as I hope that they learn from me. So I think that that's part of it. And I think that you have to also be very attentive to clients in terms of what their needs are, and you have to approach everything with a great deal of integrity and moral authority in many ways. And I think the proof of this is how long you have worked for various clients. For the law enforcement community, we've been working with them for 22 years, and for Florida Rock Properties for 18 years. So it's
wow.
It's wonderful to have those kinds of clients, as well as the National Trust for Historic Preservation.
Did you over time change your leadership philosophy?
No, I don't think so. I really took the lead from my father in terms of his philosophy, his business philosophy, and it was really to recognize the worth and value of everybody who works for you, and to recognize that they have families, and there has to be a balance between work in their personal time. And I feel very strongly that we do not work any more than 40 hours a week, and so that everybody has a kind of balance between their professional and private lives. So that's the philosophy.
Is that because you came out of Yale and you were working 80 hours a week and you said, I'm not doing this anymore?
Well, not necessarily Yale, but certainly when I first started working, there was a tendency to work 70 hours a week. And I found that it was not productive, and that you need to be productive and you have to be creative, and you can't be creative by working 24/7.
I want to jump back to something you said that was interesting, which you're talking about employees and the environment you create for them and hiring. How do you hire a good architect?
Well, I don't know. What I do is I usually work, I look at people's, how they did in school. I take a look at, you know, what they do for recreational work. I don't believe that people coming out of school are designers necessarily. I think it takes time to do that. But I'm really looking at the overall character of the person and their integrity and how they communicate with other people. It's essential that you have good communications within a firm. And so we've been have done very well in that regard. People have a tendency to stay with the firm for a long time. Tom Striegel, who's actually from Maryland, has been working with me for 25 years, although it's hard to believe that he would do that, but but it's been great. And when you work with people for a long period of time, whether it's Tom or Milo Beecham or several others, Susan Block Moores, you start to develop a kind of understanding of how you work, and you start to think and approach things in the same way. And what's important about that is that you approach it from a viewpoint of what is the appropriate thing to do, and how do you communicate with a client, and how do you communicate with the community. And after a while of working together, you all kind of think along the same lines from a professional viewpoint. And that's really when you can be the most creative. It's through that collaborative effort and same kind of viewpoint, different approaches, but you know, very, very similar in what the goals and objectives are.
We've got about 30 seconds before we start wrapping up here, but quick question. Have you ever had a project that was, you know, kind of on the fence of not happening, and you had to, as a leader, kind of regroup and solve the problem?
Yeah, yes, we did that. As a matter of fact, I'm talking before the Mid-Atlantic Museum Association in March about the repositioning of the National Law Enforcement Museum, where because of the economy, there was a need to reduce the costs. And I was asked by my client to come up with a strategy and how to do that. And I did do it. And actually, we did it to the betterment of the museum as well as the program. So yes, and I think you have to be responsive to a client's needs in that regard.
Well, thank you so much, Davis Buckley. Thanks for being with us on Leaders Portfolio.
I'm delighted.
President and Fellow of the American Institute of Architects of Davis Buckley Architects and Planners, Davis Buckley. And of course, you can find his bio, link to his company website, and full interview at leadersportfolio.com. While you're there, nominate a business leader or leadership business for the Leaders Portfolio Leadership Awards. We're real excited about these. Also want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, and I'll be back after this on Leaders Portfolio.